morning and welcome to the Voices of Legacy. Well, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, we're celebrating the lives of those that have contributed to our community here in Northwestern Ohio and around the world in some cases, many cases, to the diverse tapestry of faith and culture here in Toledo as well. Today, we're honored to have one with us, one of, I'd say Toledo's legends, living legends. Quiet, humble legends, but he's a legend nonetheless. Multi-stellar award-winning producer, songwriter, musician, and minister of the gospel, known for his long-standing collaboration with the Rance Allen Group, Chris Bird.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you is?
I'm doing wonderful. How you is?
I'm doing great, sir. Great. Tell us something about yourself.
Well, of course, I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I'm the youngest of six children.
Born and raised?
Born and raised in Toledo. And four boys, two girls. All the boys play and the girls sing. And then, of course, I started playing probably about the age of four. Mm-hmm. And, grew up with an organ and piano in the house. So
yeah.
All of my brothers took lessons except me. And I was the one that just kind of watched them and learned from them. You know,
well, that's your lesson.
Yeah, that was my lesson.
Yeah. So was it by choice? Something you wanted to do?
I loved it.
You loved
it? That
was
my passion.
Awesome.
I mean, while other kids was out playing sports, basketball, football,
you were playing
the piano. They had to drag me off of the piano.
So you play piano?
Piano, organ.
Organ?
And a little bit of drums, bass.
Piano?
Yeah.
Wow, so you have a diverse mixture of instruments that you play. What's your favorite?
Just piano, keyboard, you know.
Keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. But, you know, I play a little bit of the other ones. I'm not as good as some of these young kids now. They're so multi-talented. Yeah. They master all of them. But, you know, I master the piano and the organ rather than, like, the drums or the bass and stuff like that.
So the others in the studio are out of necessity, or if you have something in your mind that you want to get out that you need to layer a song?
As far as working in the studio, mm-hmm. I do programming. So, mm-hmm. You know, I can program all the instruments in the studio, actually, you know, with the tap of my fingers, playing the drums and bass and all of that. So that part, I love that too, and that's something that I guess I'm pretty good at it.
Well, I'd say so.
I try.
Is there anything else that you do or like to do?
I love teaching. I've been doing that recently. Mm-hmm. Teaching in high school, I teach music production, mm-hmm. and so basically teaching the young kids how to program, how to write music, mm-hmm. and produce their own music.
Oh, wow.
And
Here in Toledo?
That's here in Toledo at Rogers High School.
Awesome.
I'm collaborating with another teacher, Daphne Herford. Mm-hmm. She does the video and visual graphics and all of that, and I do the audio. And
so
we kind of merge those two pieces together because, you know, if you can't have a good video and poor audio. So, you know, we got to make sure that those are good. And so basically, if, you know, there's kids who actually write their own music, collaborate and produce it. And then once that's done, some of the other students that are really into the video and the graphics, they get to actually, you know, produce a video.
Wow.
And we, you know, merge those two worlds together.
Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. You running some talent so far since you've been doing
it? Oh, yeah. A lot
of talent. Some future Chris Birds and Rance Allens. And
yeah. and the challenge is a lot of the kids, you know, they want to use profanity and all of that. And so that's the challenge, trying to keep them to keep it clean and inspirational, something positive. Yeah. And so, you know, it's been going pretty good. You know, every now and then you run into something. And I have one case where this was a couple of years ago. One of the kids, you know, kept, you know, every now and then.
Yeah, dropping some.
Profanity, so.
Yeah.
So I was like, look, we done told you about this. You can't keep doing this, you know. So he kept doing
it. Was he just getting excited with the content?
Yeah, or? I mean, that's you know, his environment. That's what he's around, you know. So finally he's like, okay, look. We got to talk to your mom about this. You can't go in the booth no more. You're banned from the booth. So we, you know, put tape over it. You can't go in there. So one day, me and Ms. Herford were out. We had a sub in. Mm-hmm. Somehow, he talked the sub
oh my God.
Into letting him go in the booth. and record.
Oh, those poor substitutes.
So we get back, we find out he's been in there recording. We're like, what? You know, so I said, let me go in here and see what he did. Mm-hmm. He wrote an apology song.
Oh.
Sorry, Mr. Bird, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. You know, I spill my paint into these songs. That's why they don't be sounding right. I know I cuss up in the songs. I promise you I won't tonight. You know, I mean, he put it together. And it's like, wow, okay, so he got our hearts. I said, okay.
Did it work?
It worked.
This is a good story.
It worked. We let him write back in. So, oh, man. And then he did pretty good. He didn't, he kept to his promise. So.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Wow. So when were we getting the Chris Berg biopic?
Well, I've been working on a biography for quite some time. Kind of slowed way down, especially since Bishop Rance passed away. But I got a lot of footage and even got him on some.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, you've actually had some collaborations outside of even the group together, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
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 He's been on some of your albums.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. A lot of my albums.
Yeah.
my very first record that I did, Attitude of Praise, he was on that. A song called God's Word Would Never Change. Mm-hmm. Me and him sang on it. My second one. With Chris Burton, True Victory, he sang a few songs on there.
Yeah.
So I think the only one he didn't sing on was Feel 'Em Moving. That might be the only one, because I think at that time, the record label was kind of making me feel like, you need Rance to do this.
Gotcha.
So I wanted to do a project and without him to let them know, look, I can stand on my own 2 feet.
Yeah.
And we did. That Feel 'Em Moving was probably the biggest selling record we ever did.
Well, not to get away from what you're saying, we're about to say in a moment, but you actually wrote, well, I don't think a lot of people know that, some music quite a few of the songs as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, like...
With the group, Rance Allen.
With the Rance Allen group, yeah. Actually, probably like in 1996, I believe, that's when I really started doing more collaborating with Bishop Rance and project You Make Me Wanna Dance with that project. And so, he allowed me to come in and just, do my thing and add, whatever flavors to the ideas that he had.
Yeah.
And so that's where the collaboration began. And from there on, he started letting me do more and more to where, he's like, okay, you got it. You just tell me when to come to the studio, and whatever I would write, I would either try to save room for him to write verses. Sometimes I would get it all, be like, but I still would give him the credit.
Yeah.
That we just had that type of relationship. So, that's kind of how that began, because he wanted to focus more on pastoring.
Yes.
And so he kind of, without me even realizing it, years down the road, it's like, wow, I got this big responsibility. I didn't even realize it was even happening,
So how long were you with that group?
Really, when he started the church in 1985, that's when I met him, for the first time, but, we collaborate. We got together, and I started playing for the church. And right after that, I started coming, to Stephen Tom's and Rance's basement,
yeah,
or Tom's basement, and where they would rehearse. So that was pretty much since 1985.
Wow.
And I was playing.
You don't look old enough to be doing anything in 1985.
Yeah, I mean, I try.
We're not going
to
touch the age. We're not going to do that today.
That's a whole other story. Actually, I got married at 17.
Okay. All
right. So, which was 1983, and then,
So you just gave it away. It's 2020. Do the math, folks. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So you were with him a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. And for those that are listening that you may not be familiar, and I can imagine, with one of America's icons and the late Bishop Rance Allen, he was kind of like the Kirk Franklin before Kirk Franklin as far as gospel music. Because I remember when I was a kid, it was a big deal. Some folks wouldn't let you listen to Rance Allen because it was just too funky.
Right. And they would tell me stories, you know, before I got there. They would tell me stories about how they would be playing in church, and people thought it was too much, and they'd get up and walk out.
Yeah.
You know. So, it, I mean, you know, just it's just an honor and a pleasure to to have been, you know, connected with them and just be able to do what I did. You know,
in such an integral part. I remember you were on the Arsenio Hall show.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Arsenio.
The original.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. How was that experience back then and all the traveling?
That was great.
Because you said you got married in?
83.
Yeah. You got with him in 85. That's 85. 2 years.
Yeah.
And from there on, you were everywhere.
Yeah. So it was funny because at that time I'm working for the county. I used to be a dog warden.
Ah.
And so.
Oh, kitchen.
Yep. So. We went to shoot the Arsenio Hall show on the weekend. I think I left work Friday. We went out to LA, shot the show, and then we were on that show, I think, probably, you know, right away that same day. I was right back to work Monday, and all my coworkers were like, we saw you on Arsenio. How did you do that? Like, hey, I flew out.
The magic of airlines. Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, got Michael Wolff, you know, he was the band director back then. And all the guys, what do you call them, the posse?
Yes.
So I got to direct them. I got to direct the band, you know. So it was great.
That's right. They played with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I played the keys, and I was directing the band.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what has been the ups and some of the downs of your experience professionally with the group, without?
It was a lot of ups, of course. You know, I mean, just the experience being on the stage with them, being able to, you know, put the band together. Because kind of going back, let me go back a little bit, because you kind of hit on something I wanted to say, and I don't want to forget it.
That's okay.
But as a teenager, you know, when Rance, Tom, and Steve were playing the instruments, you know. I would go to their concerts. Rance would be playing the guitar with his teeth behind his back. I mean, he's like a rock star, you know what I mean?
Watch Stacks, check it out.
But as I got with them, after I got with them, probably about maybe 5 years or so later, they decided, you know, we want you to put a band together and we're going to stand up and sing, you know. So that was a wonderful experience for me, just being able to, you know, get. And mainly the guys that were playing at the church, you know, we basically got a chance to go travel with them and just being out
there. So the church band is what traveled with them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I mean, we were all just so, it was like kids in a candy store being out there on the road. We got to go wherever we wanted to go, wherever, you know, and meet so many different people, you know. I mean, being on the road with them, that's how I met John P. Key, you know, and then from there, I started even traveling with him for a certain season. You know, so it's just, you know, Bobby Jones, you know, so going to the different Bobby Jones explosions.
Yes.
So once I started my group, then we started going to the Bobby Jones explosions and, you know, connecting with them. So all of those experiences, you know, getting to play before thousands of people with, you know, gospel music workshops, the big celebration of gospel, you know, all of the BET awards and different things that we would that we were on, and different artists, you know. So it was, I guess, and that's probably why I don't really go to many concerts today. My kids had to make me go to a concert. They would buy me a ticket. And I guess the reason why is because I've always been on stage with these people.
It's like, different.
I don't have to go? I've seen it all. Yeah. I've been there. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you know, it was great. Now, as far as the lows, I think, like in a day like today, years ago, music was great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we were selling CDs, you know, and it was very lucrative.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's changed. And I saw it coming years ago. Yeah. We would always talk about the change that was coming to where, you know, people are downloading and then they start streaming. They stop making the CDs, you know. So all of those different changes somewhat kind of is, you know, it's a little frustrating because you don't, when you, if people don't understand, like, especially today, it's even worse. Mm-hmm. When you are making music, it costs money. It costs money to do this. Yeah. I mean, and so you have to invest in yourself or somebody else has to invest in you. Whereas, you know, if they invest in you, you still got to pay that money back because whatever you would be getting paid, they're going to get it first before they start paying you royalties. Yeah. So
the record company.
Right. Mm-hmm. Record label. But for the most part, I've been one to invest in myself first, mm-hmm. you know, and that's almost with any artist.
Yeah.
A record label wants to see you invest in yourself first.
So growing up in the traditional dynamic of the music industry, has it been hard to transition? I mean, you already have content of your own.
Yeah, yeah. The hard part is, so now, you know, record labels are folding, you know, and so a lot of independent labels with, you know, most of the artists are, you know, basically investing in themselves.
Yeah.
Well, it's because there's not CDs to where you can make as much money as you used to make, you know, with the return. The investment has even got bigger to where you got to pay promotional dollars to even get your stuff out there, get it played on radio. You know, you got to pay a lot of, it costs a lot of money.
Wow.
And, you know, people talk about payola, of course, it's illegal. It's still going on.
Yeah.
It's, I'm letting the cat out the bag. It's still going on.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in the gospel music. Yeah. And you can't get your stuff played a lot of times.
And there's not that many gospel radio stations anymore. Radio, I almost said the name of the company. there's a particular company that owns most of them.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. So it's kind of hard
getting
anything out there.
It is.
Yeah.
And so they want to charge you so much money. Yeah. And then when you add it up, you know you're not going to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, you know, years before you would have. But now it's not coming back.
So I hear that you make more money off of shows now.
That's it.
Which in the gospel industry, the show's not really supposed to be a show. It's supposed to be a ministry, but you got to make money at the same time. So how do you merge all that and still?
Well, it's a little difficult, you know, and I'm working on some things now. I can't, that part I can't speak too much of.
Yeah.
But I am working on some things as far as, you know, doing more shows and touring. But you know, that's where, and I think COVID kind of helped that.
Mm.
Since COVID, since everybody kind of got back into, you know, going to different places after being on lockdown, people love to go to concerts now.
Yes.
And so most of the artists are really taking advantage of that. So, you know, if you're an artist and, you know, if you're making music, in order to make money, you got to travel. You got to be out there.
What was the most profound song that you've ever been involved in?
Well, the most profound and impactful?
I have the most downloaded, most purchased, individual.
Of my song or Rance?
Any of them. Or both. Both. That would be great. One with the group and one without.
I would say something about the name Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is the number one.
It is.
Downloaded record of all time from the Rance Allen group.
Right. If we go anywhere and don't sing that, I think they would stone. They would stone us. We can't get off the stage without singing that song. Goodness. I don't care where we are.
Does that ever get old?
No.
No.
And the same with Feel It Moving, with your victory.
Yes.
It's been that way. And, you know, from the very beginning, since we recorded it, even now.
That was like, a while ago.
Oh, yeah. That was 93.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, sometimes we might can get away with it now.
Yeah.
But years ago, especially when we were out touring and traveling, we could not go anywhere without singing that song. And we got tired of singing it. You know, the group was like, why we got to sing this again? It's like, look, this is what everybody loves. They want to hear it. So we can't not sing this song, you know.
But it would seem like you kind of get tired of singing the same song.
Right.
But that's your hit. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And we done remixed it so many times. Yeah. You know, we try to do it different just to make it exciting for us, you know. But the people, they want to hear like the record, actually.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that they don't realize, some people don't realize that record, you know, it's not new. Right around.
And the funny thing is, this is a question I get asked all the time, even today. When are you going to do something new? When your new project coming up? And I always ask, what's the last one you had?
That's a good question.
And it's always Feel It Moving. That's usually the answer.
But you've done a whole bunch of
stuff. And it's like, I've done 10 projects since then. Okay,
oh,
so
funny.
I need you to go get those before I do another one.
Because that's new to you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So I want to touch on something. I think we're going just a little bit over time, but that's okay. The transition from traditional gospel to contemporary gospel really is the beginning of the Rance Allen Group before you were ever a member. And then we have this new contemporary gospel. So it's kind of like levels of contemporary from the traditional. What has been your experience with that transition?
Well,
is the music is meaningful and impactful as something about the name Jesus and other records?
Well, it's funny you ask that question. It's a great question. And I've seen where, you know, when I started like with Feel It Moving, that kind of set a tone for the type of style that people wanted to hear from us.
Yes.
So then as I started, you know, I've always been kind of versatile. Mm-hmm. I've done jingles in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Then working with Rance, it's kind of a different style than True Victory. Mm-hmm. I've worked with other, you know, people who were doing praise and worship. And I start growing in that area of praise and worship after we did Feel It Moving. So I wanted to, you know, gravitate more towards the praise and worship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would hear people, you know, like, why you change? I need you to, you know, we want to hear that style. Stick to that style. You know, it's like, you can't put me in a box now. You know, this is who I am, you know? And I mean, you know, so I think actually some of the music that God was giving me, you know, because the thing is, many times when I'm just sitting and praying, I would sit and worship at my keyboard. And, you know, pray to God, talk to God, and that's where he starts giving me songs. So I had to give whatever he gives me. This is what I'm giving.
You know, Pastor Key was my pastor in Charlotte, John B. Key.
Okay.
And we had the workshop about every year, and Bishop would come. Mm-hmm. But one thing that he said at one of the workshops, and it just stuck with me to this day, is that every song that he's ever written was a sermon. And when I look back at his catalog, it's actually true.
Yeah.
No matter how catchy it is.
Right.
And he's actually saying some more scripture.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's one thing I learned from Bishop Rance is writing from sermons.
Yes.
I saw him do that. And then when we would sit down and write songs, many, you know, times he would pull out, you know, some notes from a sermon or some scripture. And so that kind of put me, you know, in that same vein.
So here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you preach?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But what keeps you grounded? What keeps you grounded?
Well, you know, the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, and just having that relationship, you know, prayer. And I'm grateful for a praying wife.
Yes.
You know, she's one who prays me through so many different things, you know.
And both of y'all look like teenagers, so it must be working.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So a praying wife helps keep you grounded. And to your experience at Worship Center and your wonderful pastor and friend of the family as well. How's that experience been? I think that's part of what keeps you grounded.
That's definitely what keeps me grounded. You know, being there has really taught me to be stronger in my worship unto God. And that's where that, you know, that real authentic, you know.
I was about to say, you can't be there and be fake.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's funny. Once I came and started playing for Bishop McKinstry, the songs and the style that I would play and some of the songs that I was doing at that time when I first came, they weren't working for that house. So that caused me to write more songs for that house. I started, you know, I was like, God, what, you know, what is this? All the stuff I've been playing, songs I've been teaching, they're not working here. What do we want me to do? And I'm just laying before God and asking him, you know, he started giving me songs, songs for that house. Mm-hmm. And most of the songs for that house was working even for the nations.
Wow.
You know, we would sing them in the house. They would work. You know, the Holy yeah. Ghost would come. And it was great.
Just have a gospel experience.
Yeah. Wow. And then, you know, they even work for, you know, recording as well. So that's one of the things I appreciate, you know, and writing from some of her sermons. You know, I mean, just getting is so much. When you get fed, you know, good food, you know, you're gonna out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever you know you put in, whatever you put it, you take in, is gonna come out.
And that's more than being just a musician. You know, that's that gospel experience that people seek out of gospel music. Even people, some folks that don't even believe, you know, right. they get that feeling. They don't even know what it is.
Yeah,
but that's it's a great thing. But without belaboring the hour, if you could say anything, not just to young people but to our listeners, what would you think your legacy is already? What would you like for it to be?
I would say just being authentic, an authentic worshiper, mm-hmm. and, you know, letting God, you know, use you in the gift that he's blessed you with, mm-hmm. whether it be music, preaching or singing or playing basketball, whatever, you know, but, you know, being, to where you can really touch lives, mm-hmm. With your gift, using your gift to the best of your ability. And one thing I always remember, a teacher told me in high school about the one with the five talents.
Yes.
You know, and whatever God gives you, you got to put it to use and you got to increase it.
Yes.
So I want that to be my legacy, that you know, God gave me the gift, the gifts that I have, and I was one to cultivate it, to maximize it and to try and increase it so that I can gain more from it, you know, and instead of going and burying it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to where God's not pleased with that.
You lose
it.
You
know what I mean? And you lose it. Yeah. So you're going to give it to somebody else. If you
snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hopefully we can have you back here. And I got to ask you one last question. Mm-hmm. When are you going to do something new?
Well,
and don't ask me how many I got, because I got all of them.
You got all of them. Okay. Well, I was just thinking yesterday about some new stuff that I could do, mm-hmm. But I won't let that cat out of the bag. But we did do something, and this is, you know, it's not a gospel project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a school project.
Oh.
We did a song with our school, Rogers High School, and you know, some of the kids collaborated on it with us. We got the principal, Ms. Rhonda Jemison, shout out to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the song. We got the video and everything. Just finished. I was just sharing with Christopher. So it's all finished. And so I'll let you check it out before we leave here today.
Okay. Yeah. Available on YouTube yet? No.
Not yet. we working on it. It's coming real soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming with us on a journey of discussion here on the Voices of Legacy.
Yes,
appreciate your transparency. I appreciate everything that you shared with us today. And we're going to have you back on the Voices of Legacy, where you, listener, are building your legacy every day that you live. Be kind to someone. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.